Good day, radio listeners. It's time for Pure Sex Radio. This is the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles and learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction. And get serious about purity. Your hosts are Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries, and Steven Cervantes, founder of Hope Counseling Center. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome back to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. It's really good to be with you. We are enjoying an incredible day here in San Antonio, Texas. Just beautiful weather, and we pray that you are enjoying God's goodness and grace wherever you are in the world. This is a radio program that is all about training men and educating women. And I'm your host, Jonathan Daugherty, here with my good friend, Steven Cervantes. Hi there, Steven.
Hey, Jonathan.
Now, I have to admit, I am totally looking forward to whatever's going to happen today on the broadcast because I really don't know what's going to happen.
That's true.
Steven said, hey, man, just fire it up and let me start telling some thoughts. So apparently Steven's got some stuff rattling around in his head up there that he's going to share with us today, and I guess I'll just play off whatever you're doing then, Steven.
Thank you. I have notes scattered everywhere with one comment on each sheet, and I'm thinking, just turn me loose and let me talk, and whatever comes out comes out.
It'll be a purity smorgasbord going on today.
You know, I've been thinking about what is it that makes a female so attractive? You know, what's the attraction? Why do men just pop to beautiful women? Their biology surges. They just go, wow. And I think we have to recognize that beauty is beauty, and there's something great. I think we all love beauty. I think men and women both are attracted to beauty, and our eyes would love to see something that's beautiful instead of something that's maybe the opposite, death. You had the choice. Your body just loves beauty. I think that's how we're made, to enjoy beauty. But then I think that also leads to a little dilemma that plays itself out, because attractive women often are powerful women. Other people rally around attractive women. They follow attractive women. And the boys all, you know, swarm the attractive women. And I think attractive women know that, and they have power just by virtue of being attractive. It's funny because if you look at a bunch of girls, and this isn't the only way to have power in a group, but beauty is powerful. And so the pretty girl says, let's go over here. And the group does not question. They follow the pretty girl. An ugly, I don't know if there's ugly girls, an average girl that, you know, is pretty plain says, let's go over here. And they look at her and they stand.
Or they look at her and then they look over to the pretty girl to see if she's going to go with her.
That's very true. But the point is that there's just power and beauty. And I think that we as males get caught up in that because there's power and beauty, and there's attraction and pleasure and comfort. And I think that we as men sometimes then determine that we're going to have our esteem based upon how attractive a female is.
Well, you know, if you think about this in the terms of men being considered, you know, conquerors or hunters or in that kind of respect,
yes,
then you've got this equation that's going on where you've got a beautiful woman who kind of by nature of that beauty represents power that a male is attracted to.
Power and pleasure.
Who then he is going to see that as a challenge rather than simply appreciating beauty and moving on.
Yes, that's right. And that's where I'm going with this dialogue, is that I think sometimes we as men, we're struggling with our self-worth and feeling very good about ourselves. And so that's the attraction of the beautiful woman, is that she is going to share her beauty and power and charm and esteem us. And so sometimes I think men struggle when they need to be esteemed. And you've probably heard me say this before, they need to be esteemed by men, but it's just easy to play with a fantasy about a beautiful woman. And so I would ask the listeners out there, the guys out there, how are you doing? It's funny because, you know, the culture uses self-esteem. But I really think as Christians, we want to be God-esteemed. You know, reflect Christ and be worthy because of that reflection. And then esteem one another because we're men on a battle, on a mission, doing difficult things, that we turn to each other and esteem one another rather than play with the fantasies, the porn, all the distractions. It becomes noise in your head that doesn't nurture your soul.
Well, you know, I think of it this way, Stephen. What if, you know, I think there is this this fantasy in most men's minds of the beautiful woman basically praising him.
Yes.
The beautiful woman saying, you're amazing, you're a real man, you're unbelievable, you're wonderful. And so that's kind of the fantasy that is in our mind. But you know what? I think there is something deeper than that fantasy. I think there's actually a reality in that. Because if you think about God, I mean, you look all throughout the scriptures, there is nothing that compares to the beauty of God. There's nothing that compares to his glory, to his majesty, to his magnificence. And so the most beautiful being in the entire realm of the universe or elsewhere has said, I love you.
Yes, I esteem you.
You are enough. I want you. And so, but how many of us as men consciously think that thought on a regular basis, that the most beautiful, the God of the universe,
that's a great thought,
that nobody's beauty can match, is saying to us, man, you're a real man.
And I think that we can piggyback on that and also add that we are ambassadors of Christ to one another in our marriages, and that we should strive ardently to esteem one another, to build up one another, to encourage one another, because we are God-esteemed people. And if God fills you and blesses you, then he wants you to take that blessing and pass it to the person closest to you, which in a marriage situation is your spouse. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, you know, when you're dating, you just say, you know, you're beautiful and you're kind and you're wonderful and your eyes and thank you and ha-ha, we laugh and giggle and cut up and tell jokes. It's so sweet and innocent. And then life happens and the dialogues become so full of pain, suffering, finances, struggle, sickness, stress. We forget to turn to one another and esteem each other for the journey, for the relationship, for the weight they bear. I think I want this program to be about making sure that we remember that we're God esteemed and that there's a partner that we're supposed to turn to and nurture and build up.
And I think also, I think one way we can do that is, you know, you mentioned at the very beginning, what makes a woman so attractive to a man. And I think you're right that beauty is beautiful.
Yes.
But I think what the challenge here is the response that we have to beauty. Are we going to look at beauty? Are we going to look at a beautiful woman and allow that to appeal to our natural sin nature and then grab that beauty and pull it inward? Or are we going to see that beauty and have it cause us to think of the one who made the beauty, of the God who made the beauty, and how we can then esteem either that person or be reminded? Like, I think of it this way. If I'm going to the grocery store and I'm walking through the doors and I turn right there in the grocery store and boom, right there is a beautiful woman in front of me. I have a choice. I can't avoid seeing beauty.
Mm.
But once that beauty has been exposed to me, I have a choice then. Am I going to pull that beauty inward in my mind and begin to spin it for my own self-centered pleasure? Or am I going to say, there's a beautiful woman, and allow that to cause my mind to turn toward God and maybe even my wife and say, what have I done today to lift her up? What have I done to esteem her? And and maybe even say a nice comment to that woman and say, hi, how you doing, or what, but something where it becomes, it's not a self-centered reaction.
Well, and I think
to that.
That's, you know, when you walk the walk of purity, I think you're supposed to enjoy beauty and go on. But I think it's, as you say, sometimes we get challenged and then we think, okay, if she smiles at me, if she recognizes me, then I'm going to feel good. I'm going to feel strong as a man. And if she smiles at me and I smile at her, if she says hi to me. And we get caught up in this goofy little game that's about power and control and esteem when we're supposed to be God-esteemed people and we are ambassadors of Christ to one another. And so if God blesses you, you go home. You know, if you see beauty, you can enjoy beauty, and you go home.
Well, you know what? This kind of plays into the broadcast that we did last week in terms of talking about identity and how, okay, you got that moment where beauty is presented in your life, and all of a sudden you get detached from your true identity, and you start wrapping your identity up in that encounter or in
yes.
that, like, oh, if she's going to smile at me or what. Your identity is being wrapped up in that, and it's like we need to— You know, I think as God's people, we need to be able to walk confidently in our identity in Christ. And let the way I look at it is when beauty passes, let it pass.
Mm.
I mean, beauty will come in front of our eyes on any given day, but let it pass.
And here's a good verse. And it came to pass. So when it happens, it came to pass.
That's good.
So you could go on to the next thing. And I really think that we waste a lot of energy and there's noise in our head that we should be turning on our spouses and blessing the socks off our spouse.
Absolutely.
Just blessing them from their toes to the top of their heads. And I would encourage men that are complainers, that are whiners, that come home, that are distracted. I think it's powerful what's in your hand, the ability to bless your wife. You know, today we need to go home and bless our wives, speak words of truth over them, extend a hand, a touch, give them a holy kiss, and just tell them they're incredible women and that we are so blessed that they're in our lives.
You know, and that's one of those things where when you begin to understand what true beauty is, because that's another thing. You mentioned, you know, what makes a man so attractive to a woman. A lot of that is we have been inundated in our culture with what the culture believes is true beauty, which is—
And then
which
that
really
gets packaged and sold to us, right?
Yeah, which really— and it starts to distort our understanding of real beauty. And so then we may look at our wife, and then we look at the culture, and we look at our wife, and we look at the culture, and we say, one is not like the other. And we begin to feed those attitudes of discontent based on what the culture is saying, instead of realizing the immeasurable treasure that we have right in our backyard with our wives, and not realizing what God has given to us is a gift that goes way beyond what any culture could say is beautiful.
Mm.
And so I think that's important for us to do. And I will tell you this, I don't believe that anybody ever marries their spouse. And I shouldn't say ever, but I should say 99% of the time, that's the good way out, right?
Right.
99% of the time, I think when couples get married, on some level, there's a physical attraction.
Yes.
I think there has to be. So what ends up happening, kind of what you're talking about, is then as life happens, as stress, as illness, as all these other things happen, it's easier to become distracted by what the culture is saying and not grow that beautiful relationship, not grow that intimacy in our marriages. And we quit edifying our spouse. We quit, you know, building them up.
Yes.
And it starts that disconnection.
I don't think we can say this loud enough or long enough in terms of blessing our wives. I think it's the most powerful thing we can do today is to practice love, speak love, act in love. And I think we get so full of all this pseudo fantasy, distraction, even television, which is artificial reality, when we could be doing a real intimate thing with our spouse. So I would challenge the men to take any energy they have and direct it at their spouse. And if it's not much, fine, then don't do much. But if you have a lot, then turn your energy. And I'm not talking about sexual energy. I'm talking about nurturing your wife, blessing your wife, touching your wife, encouraging your wife, you know, serving your wife. If you look at all the one another verses in the Bible, love one another, admonish one another, encourage one another, they're talking about your spouse. And so this is a pep talk for men to enjoy beauty, but go home and bless your wife. We're talking about men walking in purity, and I think God made the world a beautiful place that we can thoroughly enjoy, but go home and bless your wife.
How do you think this idea of admonishing our wives and blessing our wives, what kind of impact do you think that would have on a man who has been dabbling in pornography or been struggling with managing his sexuality and has decided it's time to really start dealing with it? What kind of impact do you think this one area of learning to really focus on building up his wife, what kind of impact do you see that having on his?
If they didn't hear that, I want them to hear it again. Focus on building up your wife. Guys go, what can I do? I've got to do these big things. I got to be busy. I got to plan a whole day. I got a lot of stuff to do. What can you do to build up your wife? Right? That's the question you're asking. And I'm saying that's the question that every man should let his brain entertain and play with. What can you do to bless your own wife? Not play with fantasy. What can you do to bless your wife? Not be distracted with more stress. What can you do to bless your wife? Now, I say that as a guy that has lost his wife. I don't have a wife to go home to tonight to bless. She passed away a year and a half ago. And I'd like to go home and wrap my arms around my wife and smell her and hug her and bless her. And when you come close to death, then you know the value of that.
And I just want to echo what Stephen is saying, because I think so many times in our culture, we are inundated with soundbite moments. Everything is about things being quick and now and easy, and we forget that there is a treasure of true abundance and true fulfillment and satisfaction and contentment that is right in our own home. And I think we just forget that. We get so distracted. I'm convinced, Stephen, that the enemy's ploy against us is not to get us doing a whole bunch of decadent things. I think his ploy is just to distract us from the best things.
Mm.
So we get busy with a lot of good things, but that are just short of the best things. And I really feel like that's sapping the energy out of countless men and their marriages. That these are not guys who are involved necessarily in a whole bunch of bad stuff. They may be involved in just a whole lot of good stuff that is keeping them from one of these best areas of really investing in their wives and building them up.
So I hope that you're hearing a challenge to you as a man. And if you do a lot of complaining, would you please go on a 24-hour fast of no complaining? If you criticize your wife, would you please go on a 24-hour fast of no criticism of your wife? Could you just stop and pause and look at your wife again and see what a blessing, what richness, what goodness your Heavenly Father has provided? That's the challenge of this radio show.
Well, Stephen, I appreciate you sharing with our listeners honestly about your own path and your own life. I know that's going to bless countless listeners who hear this program. And you know, I just want to also say to our listeners that we would like to hear your stories. I mean, we know that there are plenty of you out there that are in painful situations. There may be sickness in your family. You may have lost a spouse. There may be other kinds of challenges that you're facing. We're here to encourage you, and we're here to help you get the help you need. So please feel free to contact us and share your story with us. We are glad that you have chosen to be with us here today, and pray that it has been a blessing for you. We look forward to seeing you back here again next week when we once again come to you with the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. Last week, I shared with you a little bit of a talk that I gave in Omaha recently about living a pure life in a porn-driven society. We wanted to give you a little bit more of that and continue to tell you about some of the lies of pornography that are prevalent in our culture. We hope this blesses you this week.
If I had a nickel for every single time a guy gave me the excuse that he goes to pornography because he's got a high sex drive, man, guys, I'd be in the Bahamas right now. I'd be retired because I hear that all the time. I just got a high sex drive. My wife won't meet my needs. Now, let me tell you something. We're talking about secrets, right? Most guys who have a secret with pornography or masturbation or whatever, they're not out there telling anybody, right? So then where are they going to get their information about how much of a sex drive they have? Because the only person that they can compare themselves to is their wife. Guys, I'm telling you, if you want to compare your sex drive to that of your wife's, 99% of the time you're going to come to the conclusion that you have a high sex drive. The reason is God wired men and women completely differently when it comes to our sexualities. That doesn't mean your wife isn't interested in sex. It just means you're wired very differently. Studies have shown that a man has a sexual thought every 11 seconds. Now, is that necessarily wrong? See, this is where we're getting into some dangerous territory here, right? God wired you as a sexual being. It's no mistake that you have sexual feelings, even sexual urges. But remember, we're talking about supernatural life, not the natural life. So we do need to bring those urges under control. But the fact that you are a sexual man is not a mistake. The fact that you have sexual feelings is not a mistake. And what I've found is as guys get into community with other men, where they start talking honestly about their struggles, almost to a man, the guys will say, I'm pretty normal in the sense of my urges and that I feel sexual things and I have sexual thoughts. And see, because they're getting in with men and understanding that men, we're alike. We're not like women. And so when we try to compare ourselves to women, we go, man, I got a high sex drive. And it all of a sudden, it starts making us think that it's a need. Too many men say that sex is a need. I have, you know, I'm somewhat of a little bit of a student of history. And in every single historical document I've ever read, I have never read that the cause of death for a person was abstinence. Never. I mean, he didn't have sex, so he died. I mean, I've never read that. Sex is not a need in the sense that food is a need. Obviously, you need food, you need water, you need air. Those things keep you alive. Sex is a gift. Sex is something that was given to you in that covenant bond of marriage to be enjoyed. Yes, it's important. I'm not trying to devalue the importance of sex in marriage, but it's not a need. So therefore, just because you have an urge does not mean it must be acted out. See, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. It says the Bible tells us in Galatians 5, you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Supernatural versus natural. It's natural for you to have urges. It's okay for you to have sexual thoughts. It's okay for you to feel sexual things. But God wants you to direct it in a supernatural way, away from just acting on every single one of those. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Another lie of pornography is that porn is merely entertainment and does not affect others' behaviors. Well, this is just baloney. You know, they've done multiple studies on violence in television, violence in movies. The same is true of pornography. It's the idea of garbage in, garbage out. We act from our hearts. We act from our insides. The Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, what is on the inside of us is what eventually comes out. So you start pouring pornography more and more and more and more into your life. Guess what? It's going to come out of you. And because porn is linked with violence and lies, guess what? You're going to start to be a liar. You're going to start to tell lies. You are going to become an angrier person. You might even become a violent person. See, because what you put inside of yourself will ultimately come out. We live out of our hearts. So you put more and more garbage in there, garbage has to come out. It is just the way we're designed. Another lie of pornography is that porn is not addictive. Now, what's interesting is a lot of people will point to the scientific community and say, see, it's not addictive because the American Psychological Association does not recognize pornography addiction as an ailment to be treated. But what's interesting to me is in our ministry, we know of thousands of counselors all around the country who are treating pornography addicts every single day. So whether or not the APA is going to recognize it or not means nothing to me because it's real. Pornography is addictive. And the leading experts in porn addiction have estimated that between 10 to 25% of Americans are sexually addicted. Now, that's roughly 30 to 75 million Americans have a sexual addiction right now. And porn, 25 million Americans visit cyber sex sites 1 to 10 hours a week. And another 5 million visit cyber sex sites over 11 hours a week. It's addictive. It's addictive. And why is it addictive? Because it has that nice facade on the front. It really appeals. And it pulls you back in again and again and again. Because it's going to appeal to that place in you that wants to go into the dark. And I'll tell you this. If you've stepped across the line once and put something in the shadows, it just gets a little easier to do it the next time. And you put a little more in the shadows. And then it gets easier the next time. That's how it becomes addictive. And remember, secrecy is the key here. The longer that thing stays in the dark, it's going to keep pulling you in, pulling you in, and pulling you in. And so it becomes an addictive cycle.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information. Well, that wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off.